All right. Thanks for joining. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. So first off, I'm hoping that I'm going to survive this recording with no texts, but it seems that all day my phone has been blowing up with spam texts. So I apologize right now if I keep getting interruptions. I'm not sure what to do about that. Okay. So this episode I'm dedicating to the month of October, which is many things, but I'm dedicating this episode to breast cancer awareness. Month of October stands for many things. It's Domestic Violence Abuse Month. It's other things that are escaping me right now. But breast cancer awareness is one that is near and dear to my heart. I've talked to you before about my mom having it. And so I just want to go into that a little bit. If you're not sure what that means, or maybe if you've been diagnosed recently, you know, if you know somebody that's had it. So I'll recap a little bit about what I've said in previous podcasts. And again, let me reiterate that if you haven't listened to my previous podcasts, that you should, so that you have the background and you can kind of connect the dots and don't think I'm completely off my rocker. All right, so I was probably 17, maybe 16. I was probably 17 because I was actually living down in the valley with my boyfriend. Mom went in for a mammogram, and she was, let's see, she was 32 when I was born. So you can do the math. She was what, 50 then? Something like that. 49. So she went in for a mammogram and they noticed a lump. Some kind of a... And actually, that's not true. It wasn't a lump. It was a mole that she had on her breast that flaked off. And it freaked her out. And so that's why she went in for the mammogram. And so upon them checking, that's when they noticed something. They did find a lump after that. And what they do, if you're not familiar with the procedure, I wasn't there. I actually, the first episode, I think I went with her and sat in the waiting area. So they first diagnose it. They say, oh yes, you have a lump from your mammogram. And then they have you come back. And when they come back, they do like a biopsy of it and they check it further that way. And the biopsy, what they do, or at least how they did it back then, that was, I don't know, several years ago. I won't tell you how old I am, but that was several years ago. They take a pin, like a stick pin, like a big long needle, but it has a barb on the end of it, like a fish hook barb. And they tell you to stay really still as they've marked it and everything. And so they need to make sure that they're getting the right thing. And they insert that into your breast tissue. And it goes down until it literally penetrates the tumor, the mass. And then they pull it out, bringing with it the flesh and cells and all of that stuff that they're going to then test. They run tests. Then they tell you if it's benign or not. I guess benign or malignant. In her case, it was cancerous. So she had to go back and... It's, believe it or not, an outpatient surgery. And this is where I've told you pieces of this previously, but she was set to stay with my aunts down here because two of my aunts, if you recall, the one that had schizophrenia and the other one, they lived together for most of their lives. And so they were living together, and she was set to stay there for a while. I go to the hospital to see her. She's in the outpatient room because they give you several hours to recover. She's horribly groggy. And what they chose to do for her for that surgery, because, you know, once they have tested the biopsy and determined that you actually have something that needs removed, they have to determine how radical to go. So she had a partial mastectomy. And what that means is they removed one of her breasts, or at least the majority of it, and they went up into her armpit and took out all of her lymph nodes that were connected to it. So she doesn't have any lymph nodes under one armpit. So I go to the room, you know, her recovery room, to make sure she's survived and okay. And all I could do was bawl, so I don't think I was any good. I was so young. But she was in bad shape. She was just totally out of it. She was in a lot of pain. They have tubes coming out of your chest. So they stitch these tubes in, and these tubes are connected to these squeezy, it's like a ball, only it's see-through, these squeezy balls. And these squeezy balls have like a little flip top that you can empty them then. And you're supposed to squeeze the ball and close it so that it will draw the fluids out of the incision then. And that's what the whole point of this thing is. I think there was some confusion, because I think that she ended up not doing that part, and so it wasn't draining correctly and ended up having to go back in. But for right now, when we're in this room, they were correct. They were pinched closed, and so they were draining. So you could see like this bloody discharge in these little balls that she had. And I think she had two in her breast. They were drainage. So you have to, if you can imagine, I mean, think about how often you use your arm, and think of how many times you do anything that flexes your chest muscles. And then on top of that, you have tubes that are stitched inside of you that are dangling from your chest. So just let that scenario marinate with you for a second, because that in and of itself is too much, really. It really is. So she goes to her sister's house, and I went home to my boyfriend's, and actually maybe I drove her to her sister's house. Maybe that's why I was there. I don't recall exactly. So she goes there, and she abruptly gets in a fight with her sisters because they're not close. That's how she was raised. That's how she raised my sister and I. That's how it just is in her family. And that's why, I want to say that's why everybody is so fucked up around her, but it's actually not. That's just kind of the fallout, I suppose. So, I don't know. It was like the next day. It was like not, it might have even been that evening. She was like sore. Like, I'm not sure how she could drive sore. And she left her sister's house, and they let her leave, which is just beyond. I can't even imagine that scenario. But they let her leave. She left. She came to my house on the way. And of course, I was freaked out. I'm not sure why she stopped at my house, other than maybe to take a break from driving, because I was on the side of town closest to going up the hill to the mountain town where she lived. And that drive is like an hour drive. If you recall me talking about it, it's a tedious drive. You should be driving that with two hands on the steering wheel. And here she was, freshly out of the hospital, drugs, you know, gimped, tubes, all that. And she drove up. I probably offered to drive her, but, you know, she didn't. I probably offered to let her stay, but, you know, she was dead set on going home. So she did. Shortly after, I think that's when she was having problems. She was having a lot of pain. So they, you know, had her come back, and that was probably a week, couple of weeks. And it was because she wasn't depressing those balls. She wasn't depressing them so that they would suck. They were just opened. And with it closed, you know, there's like an airtight thing. So not a lot of drainage was happening. So she went back and they fixed that and they set her up, it seems like, pretty quick for her round of radiation. And they, you know, with the doctor's advisement and everything, they came up with a treatment plan for her that did not include chemotherapy. I'm not sure why. Probably because of the type. I don't recall if I knew then. But they decided to do radiation. So I'm going to take a quick break and then I'm going to continue this conversation. So hold tight. I'll be right back. All right. Thanks for sticking with me. So she needed to do radiation. And how they do radiation is they take you in and they look at you through scans and determine where there is potentially additional cells left that weren't cut out or where it could have spread that they haven't detected yet. And then they make little tattoo marks. She had one in the middle of her chest, her upper chest, kind of right before, probably an inch above where your cleavage would start, I guess, in the center of her chest. And then she had one, I don't recall where the other one was. I think it was somewhere on her side, closer to where the incision took place. And that helps them align the radiation. And that is a great big machine that you lay under, and it literally just cooks you. And that's what it does. It irradiates your potentially cancerous cells. And they've lined it up with these tattoo marks. So the radiation, she described it as an internal sunburn. That's what it felt like. So if you know anybody dealing with this, you have some insight now, because she said that it was the worst pain, horrible. Like if you have ever had a really bad sunburn, like I've sunburned the backs of my thighs as a teenager, and you just think you're going to die. Like they're on fire, they're throbbing, it's just painful. And this is what was happening on the inside of her body. Also, what was happening during this time was her incisions had healed. They had removed the drain tubes and everything was healed. But because they removed everything under that armpit, she could not use deodorant then. So she was using peroxide and baking soda under that one arm. And it was messy and kind of stinky and kind of just weird. And so she's got all this going on. The radiation treatments were fairly aggressive, I believe, at the time. And I think she was going two or three times a week for a while. So she was coming down from the mountain town and literally going to doing this and then driving home. And if you recall from previous episodes, Dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's about this time too. So she was dealing with all of that and him not being able to drive. So it was a pretty big deal. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad just all around. So she went through this. I believe it was for, it seems like several months. I could be mistaken, but it seems like it was several months that she went through this. And of course, you know, normal doctor's appointments and mammograms and all of this, you know, throughout. When it was all said and done, the medical bills from this were outlandish. I mean, it was absolutely horrible. The medical bills, and she had insurance. She had good health insurance. They consumed my parents' lives. Mom is a stickler. Like, she wasn't when I was a kid, but when they owned the store, she was a stickler for paying bills, and that became her life. And that's one thing that she ingrained in me, and I hope to God I ingrained that in my kids, is pay your bills, because it will help sustain you through many things if you just pay your bills. So she paid the doctors. She paid them what she could. She paid the hospitals what she could. And it was only like, you know, probably 20 bucks a week or something like that to each bill. And there were several bills. One doctor felt so bad that he ended up gifting his whole service to her. So one doctor bill got taken off, and that was several thousand dollars. And I mean, we're talking, you know, 20 grand for a bill. That was like nothing. I mean, it was expensive, and there were several bills. So they ended up filing Chapter 13 bankruptcy. And what that is that's like a medical bankruptcy. It's for your bills that you can't get out from under. And that basically ruins your credit, but it isn't as bad as a Chapter 7. A Chapter 7 writes off everything. A Chapter 13, I guess, if I'm recalling correctly, is just writing off like medical bills or something big like that. And you basically agree to pay a portion of it. And so that's what she did for several years. She just kept paying the minimum amount that she could and sustaining by paying what they agreed to, which is, I don't know, a percentage of it. Somehow it worked out. And so, talk about devastation. If you can imagine just that whole scenario, it's just horrible. So then she has two daughters, myself and my sister. So then we're looking at this because breast cancer is hereditary. So because I have that in my family history, from somebody so close like my mother, and because she wasn't old when she got it, because she was under 50, I'm more susceptible to coming down with it. And I don't want to say susceptible. That's the wrong word, because you can't catch it. You just get it. You either have the gene or you don't. And I've never been tested for the gene. I'm not sure if I want to know if I have the gene. I know there's been some stars like Christina Applegate who's had her breasts removed because she does have the gene. I don't even want to know what it costs to be tested, because I'm sure it's just astronomical, and I don't think insurance would probably pay for that. Although now that I'm thinking of it, I probably should do it. So anyway, when my kids were very small, and you know, my sister is looking at the same thing, so she's going through the same thing. When my kids were very small, I had to start having mammograms. I had to start doing self-checks and going in. And I think when I first started going in, it was every other year because I was so young. And back then, it was pretty funny because some doctors poo-pooed it. Some assistants, what are you doing? You're too young. You know, the mammogram is worse than, you know, actually waiting, because you're so young. I mean, it's just crazy. So conflicting stories, conflicting information, you know, it's all very confusing. It's scary. Mammograms are horrible. I had to go in for a mammogram because I found a lump, specifically one time. My lumps have always been cysts, so I haven't had to do anything except for an ultrasound, but I'll kind of go into what that entails. So I was always being checked and always going in, but this one particular time, I was actually getting undressed, and I noticed a visual lump. Like, I could see my skin lumped up, and it freaked me out, so I went in. And that was the first time that I had an actual cyst that needed to be checked. They don't know it's a cyst, of course. They do the mammogram. In a mammogram, you're up on a big machine. It's like standing next to you, and it's got a flat surface. And the whole thing rotates so they can angle, because they have to squish your boob vertically, and they have to squish it horizontally. And when I say squish it, I mean like you feel like it is going to pop. Like you're not sure that it can withstand that. That's how uncomfortable and that's how squishing it is. Your arm is all wrapped up. You're exposed. You have like a metal BB taped to your nipple because they got to know where things are. And so they take all of these pictures of each breast. They look at the pictures, and of course, mine was a cyst. They can't really tell it's a cyst from the pictures, so they have to be sure. So they have to do an ultrasound. And it's just like when you're pregnant. They take you into another room, you lay down, they put jelly goop on your breast, and they rub this little, machine. It's like a wand over your breast. And it takes pictures on the inside. And apparently, if the pictures come out dark, if the little spots come out dark, that means it's fluid-filled and it's a cyst, apparently, something like that. So that was the very first cyst that I had. That's a scary experience because they don't usually tell you right away what's happening. You do a mammogram, they send you a letter, you set an appointment, you go in, and this whole time you're freaking out and thinking about your mom having breast cancer and what she went through. So it's a very scary, surreal episode. I started doing mammograms annually, I think at 35 maybe, because of my family history. And I think probably at 39 or 40, I think, every mammogram I go in for, I end up going back in for a, ultrasound then, because my breasts are dense. They have dense, matter. They're thick with, I don't know, when you look at the mammogram, it's like all kinds of vines in there and veins and, you know, it's all fibrous looking, and mine is very dense. Some women don't have dense material in there and it's a lot easier to see things. So I'm just one of those great fortunate ones that gets to go in for an ultrasound after each mammogram now. And that's just what my life is. That's like my birthday present to myself every year. I go in and get my mammogram and get ready for that ultrasound because I know that that's coming right up. When you're younger and you have this in your family, you have to be careful with birth control because birth control pills can actually cause issues. It can cause blood clots. It can add to your risk factor for breast cancer. So you have to be careful with all of that stuff. That's something that my daughter struggles with now is birth control just because of all of the risks in our family history. So there's that factor. I should backtrack. So about a year after my mom had the partial mastectomy, she was actually diagnosed again with a tumor that they found. And just to be safe, they went in and did another partial mastectomy and took out all of her glands on the other side. So she's actually had a double partial mastectomy with all of her lymph nodes and glands removed from under each armpit. The second one was not cancerous. Therefore, she didn't have to do radiation or anything. However, she did go back recently, and now my mother is very old. She's, 80, give or take a year. And, of course, we're not really talking now, but apparently she was diagnosed recently. She told me this on one of our recent calls. She went in again. And nowadays, they have some kind of a pill. I refer to it as the magic pill. I haven't done a lot of research on this. I only know what she's told me, which usually is half crazy. So forgive, this information may be tainted, but apparently when you are so old after a certain age and you have had multiple surgeries or at least a mastectomy, they don't deem you viable for another surgery. So they give you this pill, and it's like an ultimate radiation pill. It's like a one-time pill, I think. It could be ongoing, but I think she said it was a one-time pill. And you take this pill, and apparently it is supposed to kill everything that's in your body, and therefore you're kind of cancer-free then. You can't get it again after that. I'm not exactly sure. I'll have to do the research on that because that seems kind of far-fetched to me. And of course, maybe it's super high risk and, you know, maybe it doesn't get everything. Maybe that's just what she's hoping for. Maybe that's their only solution at a certain age when you couldn't sustain, you know, another surgery again. I don't know. So, you know, take all of that with a grain of salt. But there you have it. That is breast cancer in a nutshell. It is not fun. Every woman is at risk. Apparently you carry the gene or you don't, and I'm sure it's an expensive test to get tested, but you should always self-check, whether it's a cyst or whether it's a tumor or whether it's benign or malignant tumor. Make yourself aware, because I do know that the earlier you catch it, the better your chances are. And I can tell you that as horrible as the actual treatments are from catching it and doing everything that you're supposed to do, I can tell you that having it and catching it late, it would be so much worse. And it would be so much more impactful and negative on your family. So if you know somebody that has had it, be sympathetic, be loving, be supportive. If you know a female, which I'm sure you do, or if you are a female, then by all means, self-check. Make sure you're getting mammograms if you're at that age. Talk to your doctor and get all of the updated information. Don't rely on what people tell you. Take everything I say with a grain of salt. Lord knows I could be wrong. But just make sure that you get checked. So there you go. Breast cancer. Make sure you're aware. Take care. Bye-bye.